Visioneers, Episode 19, The Congress of the Global Mind.
So, the big moment has arrived after all these months of preparation. We're now about to see how the world can be brought together. Together in a giant mindfest of reflection and celebration.
Yes. Everything that has gone before has been prelude to this moment. From the time that Luis Valdez first sent up his tentative signal to a satellite, the Visioneers have been working to get the attention of the entire world by using the potential of the world's communication systems.
But they've also backed that up with solid work in the communities, with millions of Visioneers out there, each one reaching another one, giving another one support in small groups of people committed to creating a better future.
And committed to learning from each other how to do that, because the power to bring about the needed change comes from learning how to use the mind creatively to overcome the forces of fear, doubt, negativity, and worst of all, blatant evil.
Speaking about evil, what has happened to Elvira Ramos? We last saw her slinking off into the night in Los Angeles after her encounter with Esther.
Elvira was caught up in the machinations of her own greed and lust to regain what she thought was lost power. She came into the presence of Esther twice in the story. The first was at Woodlands, after Mark's speech to the United Nations. Carlos Palmyra was still at the height of his power, and Elvira was part of his camp. The second time, in Los Angeles, Elvira was trying to carry off her own vindictive attack against Esther, but was thwarted by the spiritual power around her.
So, what happened to Elvira?
Well, we only hear indirectly through Peter Hemphill that she dies under mysterious circumstances in Colombia. It could have been by her own hand, but more likely it was on the orders of the same professional killers she had sought to use against Esther.
Yeah, that's not good stuff. But now we're ready to hear about the other side of life, the triumphant ascendancy of good over evil, of light over darkness. Let's bring on the Congress of the Global Mind.
It begins on Saturday evening, local time, on Tiananmen Square in Beijing, China. Around the world, in their various time zones of day and night, more than 1 billion people are watching. Everything is in total blackness. Then the voice of Jeremy Hiscox is heard proclaiming the opening words of the creation story from Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
As the last words proclaim the age-old wish of all humanity, the center of Tiananmen Square explodes in a blaze of white light as electricity surges through 100,000 bulbs and the magnificent geodesic dome bursts into life before the watching world. And with the light comes the sound of a great fanfare of trumpets championing in their resounding clarion call the exuberant triumph of light over darkness.
Then, out in the still empty blackness of the vast square all around the dome, another spectacle of light begins. 10,000 tiny batteries illuminate as many candles, each one held in the hand of a child, and the square is suddenly a glitter of walking light. The fanfare of trumpets has ceased. Replacing it, rising with equal energy, the clear, bright voices of the children ring out, each one amplified for the listening world with a personal microphone. The song they sing over and over as they step out, invisible bearers of their beacons of waving light, marching around the square, the song is the one the world now expects to hear, the song of the visioneers. They sing it first in English for the world, then in Chinese for themselves, then alternatively in both languages, over and over as they march around the square.
We are the ones going to the fore. Big ones, little ones, all of us are here. Small world, big world, reaching out to all. Up, up and upmost, the mighty visioneers.
Carrying their lights, the children weave magical patterns on the dark square, including a magnificent butterfly. Then the floodlights come on, and we see more than 100,000 people thronging the square.
And this is the signal for festivals of light to break out all around the world, and the festivities continue for the next 24 hours. Day one of the Global Mind concludes on Tiananmen Square on Sunday afternoon, when we see Zhao Shiyuan's vision of 200,000 people out to celebrate in a spirit of fun and fellowship.
They are out to celebrate, and oh, what a grand celebration it is. And more, much more than that, what a moment for China and her people, showing the spirit of participation with the rest of the world in the next millennium, and presiding over it all stands the structure Zhao had not at first envisaged, but conceived of later, the shining geodesic dome, symbol now to the whole world of the spirit of the Chinese visioneers. With quiet satisfaction, the old man celebrates his people's entry into the emerging global mind.
Now, day two of the Congress begins.
This is the day of meditation, and its opening is conducted by George Cardinal. Out of the magnificent Andean diamond in Machu Picchu, he appears to the world as the proud chieftain in full headdress and visioneer's uniform. The concluding words of his statement to the world are a clarion call to embrace a new reality.
On this day of meditation, we are asking you to set aside as many hours as you can to reflect on the miracle of your life and of your responsibility to share it to enrich the lives of all you touch. Let us today, as one great family on the earth, reach out in our minds to embrace the unity of all things. Let us listen to the wind, to the waves on the beach, to the snowflake falling, to the jungle steaming. Let us feel the pain of each other's suffering and of the wounds we inflict on our Mother Earth, and let us resolve in our hearts and minds to learn how to live together in the oneness of creation.
With these words, George Cardinal has set the theme for the day. Across the planet, visioneers now convene in assemblies from university halls to the mud huts. Here they first seek in meditation to still their minds from the clamor of the world, and second, to listen together, one to one and one to many, to draw closer to the truth of what binds the earth together in a global mind.
Day three is Earth Day. It begins on Monday evening local time at Crestone, Colorado, and is led by the visioneers in the pyramid there over the next 24 hours.
As the hours pass, the shimmering brilliance of this grand structure captures the hearts and minds of people everywhere. Thousands flock in from all across North America to be part of what's happening. In outdoor settings among the trees with tall mountains looking down, they come together, strangers at first, but soon accepting one another as fellow travelers on a journey of understanding. They see the earth as their common home, where they can be nurtured and grow in their passage through time and space. Their responsibility in return is to care for their planet and to engage their minds fully in understanding how this is to be done.
Inside the pyramid, George Walker and his team of Diane Koplitz and Nikolai Andropov beam messages out to the participating world that speak to the same awareness, The messages are received by millions of visioneers across the globe who at some point during the 24 hours of Earth Day gather with a group of people in their community to consider what they must do to preserve and nourish their part of the planet.
Day 4 is the Day of the Universe. It is led by President Mutsandu from the watchtower on Kilimanjaro, beginning on Tuesday evening with a great man standing on the ramparts under a perfectly clear, star-filled sky. His words are a challenge for people watching around the world to use the next 24 hours to expand their minds in thinking about the place of human civilization in the mystery of the universe.
On this fragile planet, we have grown rapidly in the last few years of this single century into a very large family. Many of us are undernourished and starving. That is no way for a family to look after its members. We must build a future that allows all of us to live well together. My charge to you is that you consider and craft your shared visions, a new image and wisdom for human beings. It is the wisdom that we need now to play our role as full, magnificent participants in the divine inspiration that lies behind and around all creation. Go to your deliberations in peace and good spirit, my dear friends, and build together the power of a global mind.
As the visioneers have been leading the world for 4 days now in a great learning event, is that what the Congress of the Global Mind is about?
Yeah. Yes. The theme of this story from the very beginning has been that for life on the planet to survive, its most intelligent species, human beings, have got to embrace a creative, life-enhancing mind frame fed continuously by this form of creative learning. People putting their minds together to break free from constraining paradigms, listening to each other, and building new visions of the possible in which there's a place of honor for everyone.
It's a wonderful scenario for the world. Let's go on to day 5, the day of the oceans and the sky.
This is led by the visioneers in the Australian Rock, in the center of that small continent completely surrounded by oceans, where for most days the sky arches overhead as a huge blue dome. It begins on Wednesday evening, local time, and presents the context for scientists around the world to bring the message that the oceans are the Earth's great reservoirs of life. The message is driven home in spectacular fashion by Daniel Thomas, the Welsh poet turned visioneer, in a dramatic performance on top of Ayers Rock on Thursday noon.
A circling helicopter banks slightly in the shimmering blue heat of the unending sky, and the cameraman on board brings in the full view of the great blood-red monolith. The signal bounces off a satellite 1,000 kilometers above the Earth, and more than 1 billion people watching around the planet see the huge rock swirling and rushing towards them as the helicopter sweeps down in a careening dive. The focus for this precipitous rush is at first a black dot on the top of the mountain. But then it leaps rapidly to size as the camera zooms in. Bareheaded, stripped to the waist, his long black hair blowing in the dry, hot breeze that cuts across the surface of the rock, Daniel Thomas stands defiantly, staring out across the empty Spinifex plain, stretching away to the horizon. As the helicopter roars overhead and speeds off, the scene switches to Daniel up close, shot by cameras covering him on the rock itself. Bronzed like a sculpture from too much sunshine during his 6 month sojourn in the heat, Daniel Thomas looks directly into the camera and speaks.
Look and see around me here and store it in your mind for understanding. This is the very heart of the hot red center of everything that can happen when the moisture is sucked from the land. Look up and see above me here the great blue vault of eternity. The very hurtling place of rockets to the stars. pressing down, pressing me, pressing this great red rock into the earth. Look and know that this is life without life, the grand spectacle for feasting the eyes, for uplifting the soul. But know, surely know, if this was all there was, there would be nothing.
So people all over the world, wherever they are, have by now had many opportunities to meditate and learn about the life forces that have created and sustained the earth and everything on it. The images have been strong, powerful, and positive. Des, it's like no other Congress that has ever been held on the planet. How is it being received?
Well, to answer that question, we have a short interlude here with Bill Bates in Los Angeles talking by videophone to Mark Venture in Jerusalem. Bill has been monitoring audience participation, and he's ecstatic. It's a smash, Mark. It's an absolute smash. I'm so excited I've given up sleeping. Not that there's time for it anyway. These round-the-clock, round-the-world days are something else. We've been monitoring the situation every day, and as I told you yesterday, we seemed to be picking up momentum as the week wore on. Of course, you know last Saturday's opening in Tiananmen Square was a showstopper. There were almost 2 billion people watching that. We expected things to slow down a bit during the week as people went back to work, and they did at first. But then each time one of those telecasts came on from the Globe comms, I tell you, there were well over 1 billion viewers every time. But that's not all. The ZNN network is replaying it continuously. It's almost as if there's no other news in the world. And there isn't. No wars, uprisings, demonstrations, stock market crashes, major accidents, floods, earthquakes, or negative whatevers. It's as if the whole world has actually gone sane for a week. Those visionaries out there are doing a heck of a job, too. They've got groups organized around the major telecasts, either live or taped, depending upon what time it is when they're broadcast. Julia McCarthy just told me from New York that it was 10 o'clock last night when Daniel Thomas came on, and then after that, discussion groups went on until 3 o'clock in the morning. Now they're all getting up again, ready to listen to you. No doubt about you, Bill, Mark is laughing. You're a great inspiration.
Well, now we come to day 6, the birthday for humanity.
It begins with Esther sitting with Mark on Thursday evening at the command center of the Star of Jerusalem. She reads the theme for this day from the book of Genesis.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
Mark explains that the challenge for today is to give new understanding to these ancient words. Esther declares that the place to begin is with our minds. She continues.
Can we understand, as we look here at our planet home, that the thought energy of our minds is part of the same energy that keeps the earth alive? We're a part of that, and it's a part of us. We know now that everything is energy, and that we human beings have a unique role to play. The energy of the universe courses through our minds every moment with the same creative force as from the beginning. This means that if we bring our minds together, we will have available to us all the creative power of the universe to build a future of harmony rather than division. This is what the visionaries are doing. We're bringing together the collective energy of human consciousness to create a powerful global mind where no thought will persist of the issues that previously divided us.
This is the exciting story of evolution. It's Mark who's come in again, joining Esther at the Globe. If we turn our minds to look beyond the seeming chaos and disruption of so much that surrounds us, we can see the unfolding of a divine plan. From its elementary beginnings, human consciousness is on a journey towards enlightenment. For most of the way, the path seems to have been dark and dangerous. but from time to time great souls have come by to give direction. Their lives and wisdom are part of our collective heritage. The enormous wealth of scientific knowledge is also available to us. Armed with all this, we're now on the threshold of making a great leap forward in the evolution of consciousness. Ironically, at the same time, we're struggling for survival. We're at the fork in the road. Everything's on grand scale. Down one route lies the horror of massive destruction. Down the other, we can expect a tough time of it, but we'll have the certainty of winning through in the end. The Visioneers are out there with you in the world to make sure that together, as a human family, we take the right fork in the road. The Congress is the moment of awakening. As Esther says, we're pushing for the birth of a global mind, the breakthrough to planetary consciousness, the complete and overwhelming awareness that the only way forward is through human relationships flowing with love. For the first time in history, we're assembled as a planetary family. Esther and I speak to you here from Jerusalem at the center of the networks, but all around the world the lines of communication are open. We have the chance today to create the global mind as a life force of energy for the planet, pouring out of human consciousness aligned and dedicated for the one great purpose of nourishing life on Earth forever.
So, let the day begin. Globecoms, are you ready? Crestone, Tiananmen Square, Machu Picchu, Ayers Rock, Kilimanjaro, come in, all of you.
Each of the five Globecoms comes up in split image on the television screens of people are watching around the world. The Star of Jerusalem appears in the center with each of the other five at the end of a point. Mark's voice continues over the picture. This is our network. Wherever you're meeting place in the world, keep tuned to this signal and know that you're part of this great global network. The Visioneers with you will lead the meditations and discussion. During the day, you'll be asked to decide. Do you wish to be part of the global mind? Thousands of centers have been set up in every tricept to hear your report. Visioneers are on hand to listen and feed the information into us. In 24 hours, we'll be back to give you the result. Go with good heart and Godspeed to bring in the global mind.
So now we're building to a climax. The opportunity is out there for people in every part of the world to feed back to the center of the network. 24 hours later, Mark is back triumphantly broadcasting the results of what the people are saying.
Welcome to the global mind. More than 1,000 million of you have spoken, and our communication lines are still jammed solid with reports coming in. The message is clear. Yes, you say, to peace on the planet. Yes, to the end of arms shipments to make war. Yes, to a planetary people's forum to promote the development of equity and justice. Yes, to the universal spread of creative learning. Yes, to the spirit of the Visioneers active in every quarter to put up the vision for peace and prosperity and to focus every mind on the planet to see that it comes in. And you're saying no to governments that would jostle for power and spend outrageous sums of money on weapons of destruction. No to business and activity that can further harm the planet. No to beliefs and values that generate waste and the irresponsible squandering of precious resources. But above all, it's a yes for life, and a yes for the learning that will lead to life, away from violence, destruction, drugs, crime, and mindless consumption. It's yes to knowing that the only way forward is for all of us to change our minds about the meaning of life, and it's yes to bending every effort to learn together what the new meaning must be so that all of us can benefit.
Wow, What a wonderful message this is. To know that more than 1,000 million people in every country on earth are saying the same thing, and we are willing to turn the creative energy of our minds to making it happen. And if it's 1 billion people today, it can be 3 billion tomorrow, and everyone on the planet the day after that. We know, and you know, that we can't change the way things are immediately. But we also know that nothing can change at all until we begin to change our minds. And then beyond that, we know the greatest truth of all, that what we decide in our minds to do releases all the power of the universe to make it happen. Knowing that, my friends, visioneers all of you through and through, knowing that, then know too that you have today created the global mind. You have enlivened the earth with a strong channel of universal consciousness that from this day forward can and will be its sure and steady guide into a future of hope and prosperity for all.
Now, a great shout of joy rings out across the world, led by Teresa, who brings back the hallelujah theme that has so often stirred the work of the visioneers.
Oh, hallelujah, 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 Teresa shouts over and over again. Music comes up, the same hallelujah theme that she sang at Mark and Esther's wedding. She leads it now for the world. The other visioneers join in. The television screens of the watching people on every continent cut to split image, and all of the visioneers come in from all of the Globecons singing hallelujah with Teresa. Then, in every visioning center around the globe, and in homes, and in every other place where people are watching, more than 2 billion of them around the planet, they come to their feet singing hallelujah for the global mind and for the future it promises to bring.
The music rises and falls, going around and around with the one word hallelujah, shouting its emotion of joy and praise, meaningful in every language, crying its universal message of hope for the planet forever. Then the singing ends, and the television camera closes on Esther standing alone behind a table where 2 Shabbat candles stand unlit in simple silver candlesticks. She takes a lighted taper and sings the ancient Jewish benediction for the lighting of the Sabbath candles.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kitchanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lehadlik ner shehel shabbat. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctified us with your commandments and commands us to light the candles of the Sabbath. We've come to the end of the 6th day of creation, and on the 7th day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the 7th day from all his work. And God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which he had created and made. The Sabbath has begun here in Jerusalem, and we invite you now to share its peace and rest around the world. To all of you who have joined us in this Congress, may we say peace and love. For what we have done today in creating the global mind, may we say hallelujah. From the Globecoms of the visioneers around the world to everyone on earth, we say, go and rest. Share the joy in your hearts. You've done a wonderful work. We'll be with you again soon. God bless you all.
Mark moves in beside Esther. The other 3 visioneers gather around. The hallelujah theme comes up again. They wave to the watching world. The picture fades. The Congress of the Global Mind has ended.
Oh, Des, what a wonderful message that is. In these times of great conflict and dissension around the world, there could be no greater message of inspiration to the world.
Yes, and now the last part of the message comes flooding in. We see how the world responds when it's given a chance to act on higher impulses. In the book, it's called Why Not? Let's read it.
The week of the Congress was a masterpiece of precision. The work that follows is a triumph of achievement. The world is no longer as it was. Everywhere people are empowered to act. It's as if a great wave of relief has swept across the planet. Suddenly, it's all right again to be optimistic. No one knows for sure what the new thinking will mean. For everyone, it will bring some hardship along with benefits. For the old ways don't give place to new without some pain of passage. But in this first week, the enthusiasm is unquenchable.
The Star of Jerusalem is at the heart of it. Recognized now as the center of a new global network, it receives an unending flood of messages from around the world. Most significant among them are the ones from the world leaders. It takes a few days, but then they start to come. Pressured by constituencies and badgered by the media, the leaders have no choice but to respond. The mood is overwhelmingly positive. "Congratulations," they say, "you have done a great service for humanity. My government looks forward to working with you to design the structures to preserve world peace and to create new avenues for economic prosperity for people everywhere."
The media is schizophrenic. It wants to praise, but finds it hard to believe. The old paradigms are strong, but the voice coming from the people is stronger. They believe in the visioneers. They have been stirred in their hearts. The young are the most outspoken. They demand to be heard. Everywhere they ask the question, why not? And by the end of the week is a very brave editor or journalist who will choose to answer by saying it can't be done. The hearts and minds of people on the planet have been stirred to act. And impossible is not a word they choose to hear.
The high point of the week comes for Mark and Esther on Wednesday morning. They receive a phone call from Kamal Rashid.
The young Palestinian wants to meet. Mark invites him out to the Star of Jerusalem. When he arrives, Kamal comes not by himself, but with a delegation of young men and women, Palestinians and Israelis, all of them wearing the uniform of the visioneers.
"This is my palace group," Kamal tells Mark and Esther. "We've worked together for many weeks, but especially during the 7 days of the global mind. There are 10 of us here, but each one of us is at the tip of a network of 1,000 others. We want you to tell the world that we've decided that there will be peace among the Palestinians and the Israelis, and we'll see that it happens. We thought that would be a good message for you to announce to the world."
Mark looks at the young man and is speechless. Esther catches her breath and whispers, "Oh, Kamal, if only that could be so."
"It can and it will. Because of what you have taught us in your life and work, we can see now that in the past we've put wasted energy into destroying each other's dream. We've changed that. Now we'll build a new dream together. You may tell the world, we've decided."
Mark and Esther did indeed tell the world, and suddenly there seems to be an overwhelming response of, why not? Touched by the energy of the global mind, people heard the announcement in a new way. If only the future for the planet is along a path of peace, how can we step aside here from such a course? There are differences and difficulties. There are hatreds that go back for thousands of years. But this is a new time now. The end is clear. We must have peace. The thought is in our minds. There will be dangers and difficulties and setbacks. But the end is clear, and we will find our way to it. Why not?
By the end of the week, this was the question in everyone's mind. Why not? Why not peace in the Middle East? Why not an end to aggression and hostility? Why not shut down corruption in high places? Why not override the drift to drugs by giving people a new sense of the power in their minds? Why not set aside the benefits of greed by showing the rewards that come from pursuing lives of meaning and worth? Why not expect the best of people and help them to achieve it? Why not replace tough negotiation with synergy and deep listening? Why not live together in love and fellowship?
Why not take charge of the future of the planet and learn to live in the flow of the universal life force? Why not create a global mind and learn to see our lives fulfilled through our contribution to this higher force? Why not learn to be the magnificent beings we were meant to be? Why not?
And at the heart of it all lie three images, now shining in the minds of everyone who has been touched by the work of the Visioneers. Hanging alone in space, the beautiful blue planet Earth sings with the music of the spheres and calls softly but urgently, "Be with me." Emblazoned on its sky-blue crest, the bold V of the Visioneer calls to those who pause to listen, "Work with me." Standing astride its place in destiny, the city of Jerusalem opens its arms to the world and cries, "Come with me."
Together, at the crossroads of history, the Earth, the Visioneers, and a new Jerusalem stand waiting for their calls to be answered. Why not?